Yes, welcome to my podcast, The Debrief. Came back from Lawn Hotel, Bradford Oaks, in the front. Regular
hello
contributor, and Kitty Flanagan's in the back. But she doesn't want to speak.
I'm here as an audience. I'm the live audience.
Yeah. And we all just did the Lawn Hotel, and it was great fun.
And For some.
What was wrong with your gig?
I didn't feel the love.
No? I did well. You did fine. Kitty Flanagan, she's very good.
She was fantastic. You were great.
She was amazing. Gee.
Somebody had to be the worst, and I put my hand up. I think regular listeners will know I'm a sacrificing kind of guy.
Yeah, you are. But no, it was a good night. We had fun. And then we're driving back. It was a long drive. Kitty Flanagan thought it was only an hour away, but it's 2 hours.
I was told just past Geelong.
Yeah. That's why I trap people into the Ring of Lawn Hotel. That was good. We had a good time.
Do you have a heater on?
Yeah, a heater. You know what? I think I do.
Could you maybe turn that off?
I'll turn the heater off. I'm going to turn some aircon on. She's very demanding. Also, Kitty Flanagan made us move the light. Which was a very good move, actually. No wonder you're at the top of your game, Kitty. You've got all the good tips. I'm trying to remember when I first met. I've been through this with Brad. When we first met, as a little joke, Kitty Flanagan. I'm trying to remember when I first met you.
I reckon full frontal.
I reckon it was full frontal.
Mm.
Because I used to go up to Sydney a little bit in the early 90s and do tried spots, and I definitely met James O'Loughlin. Julia Morris used to host The Store.
Yeah.
And sing I'll Always Love You, and then put funny teeth in. Made me laugh a lot. And then Burner was hanging around. He was very good.
Peter Burner.
But I can't remember. I think I met you, but then definitely on full frontal, I was a writer.
Yeah.
And you came in as a performer. And, yeah, you're very funny. And Julia, did you sit at the same time as Julia Morris?
Yeah, me, Julia, and Dana all joined together.
Oh, Dana Reed. Who's?
Oh, she's gone on to do nothing.
Yeah.
I worked with her on the Jim Owen show with Rachel Griffith.
Rachel Griffith.
And I bet you that they still mention that.
For people that don't know, Dana Reed now directs Handmaid's Tale. Incredible, and she did the one. I watched it. Spoiler alert, all right, where Peggy from Mad Men, I can't remember her real name.
Offred.
Do you watch that show?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Love it.
I love it too. My wife won't watch it. So it's too depressing.
It is.
Well, it has got annoying now that, you know, they won't let it get off the island.
I know.
You know, it's a bit Gilligan's Island now. It's like, they've got to keep her on the island. The show ends.
But you know, as I say to my wife, but they've got some really good ideas. You should watch it. These shows, they're pretty. I say that to stir people up. But
stir.
Oh, I love it. I love Peggy. I think she's amazing.
I love their outfits.
But I love the bad dude, the Fiend, Rafe Fiend. Is it Rafe? No, it's his brother.
It's Joseph.
Joseph. I love him.
I'm just here as the fact checker in the back.
Yeah, that's all right. No, I like the fact that you're a Handmaid's Tale fan because
we got a fact checker in the back and a name checker in the front. Dana Reed, what a great human as well.
Anyway, she directed the one where Offred gives birth, which is a great episode. And I turned to my wife and I said, that was directed by a woman. Dana Reed names come up. I'm like, oh my God. She's from Full Frontal.
Yeah.
But she was a performer.
Yeah.
Jermaine,
yeah.
Ah, well, she's kicked on. Anyway, yeah, and you. The only thing I can remember about your stuff up Full Frontal, Kitty, because it was a long time ago. Apart from the great Nettie Show sketches, the Nettie Show with Julia. Anyway, you did those ones with Sean McAuliffe, where you played a teenage boy, he was an old lady.
I played Garner McCasper.
Is that his name?
Yep.
And you wanted to stab people and.
Garnaby Casper was based on the bully at my own school.
Really?
Yeah, he was the bully in my brother's year.
Oh.
Yeah, and so that was a real name. I wouldn't be allowed to do that now.
Wow.
that was his real name.
It was such a good name, though. I just couldn't.
Sounds like it made up, though.
Garnaby Casper.
Garnaby Casper. What a great name.
He was a bully.
And the other bully in my sister's year was called Bart Bogan. Real name.
Wow.
You did one in the cinema, I remember.
I think that's the only one we did.
Oh, that's the only one.
It didn't take off. I was hoping it would be a regular character, but it didn't take off, Garnaby Casper.
Garnaby Casper.
And Sean... was in drag playing my grandma.
Yes, Dodge Carnaby, that's right.
We should pause now while people rush to their commuters and try and YouTube that.
There's not a lot of full frontal on there.
There's no evidence.
Sean loved working with you, didn't he? He loved you.
Oh, well, the other one we used to do was, remember Lionel, Morning Tea with Lionel?
Oh, that's right.
And I was... Ilse Frond from the Slaughterman's Arms Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd always be there talking about what was coming up.
Oh, that's right. Like a Bogan kind of character? Sort of? No.
I'd love to say she was Bogan. I think maybe she was a bit more special needs.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. She was just simple folk.
How many seasons did you do it for?
One and a half.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's enough, isn't it? It's a big churn factor. I wrote on episodes.
Kevin?
And then I made my appearance as the fat loser. In fact, you were in the sketch with me, Kitty.
Was I?
Yes, you delivered the punchline. Because all the cast refused to do it. They couldn't get a fat guy to do it. And so Doug, the head writer, goes, can you play this? I'm like, yeah, I'll be in it. And so I walk into a gym and I go, I'm here for my assessment. And you look me up and down and you go, you're a fat loser. Wow.
Gold.
And then... Doug, the head writer guy, loved it so much that he wrote a series of fat loser sketches.
Oh, no.
And I wore the same red striped top.
Oh, I do remember now that you say the striped top.
And then it culminated in a fat loser song.
Oh.
You're a fat... And I still swear, people occasionally go to me, full frontal, the fat loser.
What's the one I did with you? Well, that was that Banner show.
That was the Eric Banner show. Oh, no. Where I go into a high and mighty.
And I was the fatter loser.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Eric's hanging shit on me about being fat.
I reckon that ruined my career. I really think that went off me.
Really? It was good fun.
Oh, those were the days.
Full frontal.
That was my first job, though.
That was your first TV. What was your
second? First TV job. And I just wish that I'd known how fun all those people were and how what an extraordinary show it was to work on. Because I just thought, because it was my first show, that all TV shows would be like that.
Yeah. Oh, so you enjoyed it?
Everyone was so nice, and everyone just, like, you know, wanted to kind of do the... Like, we had to turn out an hour a week.
That's a big churn, yeah.
So, you know, everyone was just like, whatever you can to make the sketch funny, just do it.
42 minutes.
And then I worked in the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, you did the sketch show.
And just, you know, it just wasn't...
Wasn't fun?
No, and also not like frontal.
Full frontal, there was like people, and I know you're still in contact with Glenn Butcher, you still work with him.
Yeah.
He was a great guy. John Walker was a great guy.
So many good people on that show.
Yeah. Eric Sean,
loads of people.
Did you write for Full Frontal?
Yeah, for a little bit. He's written Full Frontal.
I wrote for it.
Yeah. I eventually became one of the head writers. That was my dream, Kitty. When I got into comedy, I wanted to be the head writer on Fast Forward or Full Frontal.
Yeah, right.
And I achieved that dream. And to quote Lionel Richie, when you get to the top, there's nothing there. There's just people yelling at you.
Well, I made the mistake. I wanted to do stand-up on Hey Hey, and I achieved it in 5 years, and I achieved it in 3.
Oh, there you go.
And had nowhere to go.
Oh, that's right, because you went to London. Because I don't know if I told you, I went to London a few years ago, and I caught up with Felicity Ward to do this very podcast. And she was doing a live radio BBC quiz with the woman who's in Ricky Gervais' shows, Kerry Goldman.
Kerry Godliman?
Yes. And she asked, she goes, when I started doing comedy here in London, there were two Australians that I really looked up to, Julia Morris and Kitty Flanagan.
Wow.
She was very funny too. Very
cool. A couple of Sydney lasses.
How long were you in London for, Kitty?
8 years.
Oh my God. What?
I didn't realise it was that long.
I know, I really should have become well known.
What was your... So you worked on the sketch show, which was with... those British comics.
Lee Mack.
Lee Mack.
Yeah, Tim Vine.
Tim Vine, the Pun King. What was your third TV job when you came back to Australia?
Well, I was given the project when I came back.
Oh. We weren't on the Darren Sanders show.
Come on, that's... She probably hasn't been on the Darren Sanders show. I haven't been on it. Have you been on the Darren Sanders show?
No, I was scheduled, but I couldn't make it.
Really?
Couldn't fly myself to Sydney.
Well, anyway, those Project Crosses were very popular, weren't they?
Yeah, well, that was what kind of...
Broke
made
you.
Made me able to tour, because people had seen my face on the television finally.
I'd seen you on the sketch show. That was broadcast here.
Yeah, it was broadcast here. It wasn't broadcast in the UK.
Really?
Two episodes went to air, then it got pulled off because of the Iraq War.
Oh,
we were
really?
We were in a bad time slot.
Ah.
So, yeah, the first series that I wasn't in won a BAFTA. Second series that I was in got axed. Only one thing changed between the two series. I joined. And in all the publicity beforehand, I kept making jokes about, well, I guess if this one goes downhill, we'll know what happened.
And then what happened?
And then that's what happened.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, right.
So you hung around in England just doing stand-up then?
Yeah. Because it was just there's just such a good circuit there.
There's a big circuit, isn't there?
Massive.
Huge.
And you don't have to be, like, well-known to earn good money.
Good money, yeah. But did you like living in England?
Yeah, I loved it.
In London?
Yeah, I loved it.
Would you go back?
I like cold weather.
Oh, you like cold weather? Oh, yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
And I've really made this podcast fascinating. I've brought it down to weather.
No.
Within 5 minutes.
This is fine.
We've never been up this far. This is fantastic.
Yeah, we obviously haven't listened to our podcast.
Well, it's not even ours, it's his. Normally, I'm sitting where you are.
Yeah, Brad's all in the back making comments.
Yeah, it's mainly about the weather. you know, ruining Hughes' career.
Yeah, Hughes has been on this podcast a few times. How about that? It's all good.
Yeah.
But you're in a very good spot now in terms of your career, can you? It's going well, isn't it?
Yeah, because once you sort of, you know, if people know you off the telly, and they'll come and see you in the regions, and that's what you want. You want people to come to see you in the regions.
The regions.
There's so many good art centres and theatres.
Yes. And do you reckon they get a lot of comics coming out?
No, they don't. And they really appreciate it when you come. And then you don't even need to stay on the television. If you're doing good shows, they're such loyal audiences. They'll come back if you go back again. And so, yeah, they're really loyal.
But then you've got to develop new material.
Yeah, you have to take a new show, obviously.
And you have a really interesting way of doing it. I remember you telling me once you go to Canberra and do a... And you advertise it as like a whiteboard show or something?
Yeah, I write all my ideas on the whiteboard, roll that out in front of just a small crowd, 60 or 90 people, and then we just go through my ideas on the whiteboard, and anything that's funny stays on. Anything that isn't funny gets wiped off.
That's a really good method.
Although some nights I don't trust the audience, I go, fuck you, I'm leaving that on. I reckon that's funny. I'll try that again tomorrow night. Three nights in a row, it's got to go.
Yeah, that's a good
rule of three, yeah. I'd like to borrow that whiteboard.
I think the whiteboard's funny.
Yeah.
That's good. But do you ever go into old material when you do that, or no, you're very strict? You go, no, this is it.
Well, I haven't, no, but it's I probably should.
No.
I just panic that people will see it. And also, what's the point? Like, I know it works, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
I just want to do something... It works just to relax people, which relaxes me.
It's a good idea. It's pretty stupid.
I was thinking of it as, like, you know, not starting in the hole, but then again, you know.
Yeah, but
I haven't really got very far.
They know what they're
doing. They do know what they're signing up for.
Yeah, and it's Canberra, it's good audiences, aren't they?
Well, it's more that they've just got the perfect size theatre. They've got that really nice little courtyard theatre at the Canberra Theatre Centre.
Right.
You know, they've got three theatres there,
yeah.
90 seats, 500 seats and 1,000 seats, so it's just perfect.
Goldilocks
theatre. And they do a couple of weeks in Sydney somewhere as well. And then I do a couple of weeks on the Central Coast. So, yeah, just kind of wherever I can find a little 60, 90 seat
theatre. Yeah, wow. And you're working hard.
Just do Stratford.
Yeah, we need Stratford upon Eve. Gippsland is about 90 seats.
Which is a 3-hour drive.
You just got to go somewhere where there's enough people that you can work every night.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be able to do 2 weeks in a row working every night.
Well, Chris Rock, I read, he would go to Florida and do not old people's home, but he said there was a lot of old people there in the crowd. And his theory was if it worked with them, it'll work with anyone.
Yeah, right.
But see, it was an older crowd tonight. We all love an older crowd. I'm speaking for all of us, because we're older.
Yeah.
Well, Brad's older than any of us, but...
Oh, that's so true. I know. I've just been looking at your organs, both of you, and going, oh, I might have to go on one of those kidneys.
The old audience, I love the old audiences.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, look.
It's nice when everyone has the same reference points.
Yes.
In an audience.
Yeah.
Although, I think that can be fun, too, that if you've got, like, both in a room, if you've got old and young.
I like your teenagers, too.
You know, if you can be kind of explaining the subculture to one group and then explaining that back to the other, that's fun, I think.
Yes, I often get a young person versus an old person. That's my secret. Don't steal it. No. When I do corporate gigs, I do that often.
We'll cut that bit out. You don't want that going out.
Exactly. No, people still have. Next thing I'll do, everyone will be doing it. Yeah. The youngest person, the oldest person.
What if they kind of strategically sat one old person, one young person next to each other?
I love it. Oh, I would happily do that every time. Bring him along. Make giant puppets.
Well, it kind of helps too. If, you know, you're a dad. It's kind of like, I mean, I did hear Kitty tonight. I thought you made an excellent point when you said, "Well, I can talk about parenting because I'm." To paraphrase, yeah, fucked it up.
Yeah.
Which I you know.
All my ideals about parenting still solid.
Yes. Yeah. I had my child vomit today, so that was my teenager.
Oh, that is the best, eh?
After that second Milo milkshake.
My wife is quite Amish, so no computer games, no junk food. And she doesn't leave me with the kids a lot by myself. she goes to...
You can see why. You made one of them vomit.
Well, she goes, I know it's going to involve sugar or computers or technology as soon as I walk out the door. So they see me as an easy target. The kids, I'm like a... what am I? I'm like an oasis. I'm like a... I'm like Ronald McDonald, I don't know what I am. I'm well, obviously you look... That's not the analogy I was...
No, I felt it was a bit strong, but I panicked. Yeah.
Can you tell me where the fried chicken place is and why you wanted to go there so much?
It's in Smith Street, Collingwood. There's a few of them. And
what's it called?
FAT, which is short for Fried and Tasty.
Right.
It's because I've got a teenage boy and a teenage daughter and a 10-year-old. The teenage boy in particular, they get obsessed by takeaway food because one of their mates goes there and says, there's this fried chicken place, right, with Milo thick shakes. And then I'm like, obviously looking at me, you can tell I love a thick shake and I love fried chicken. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. But
you hear about something like that, though, does it just stay with you?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, if someone mentions that there's a new, like, flavour of chip or something, I just can't stop thinking about it. Like, until I've actually had it and gone, oh, yeah, that's disgusting. I don't need that again.
Yeah.
But I have to try it.
Oh, yeah, I try every chocolate
and
bar.
And ice cream flavours.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Flavors.
It's really killing me how often they bring out new stuff now. It's like, they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, they're doing, like, every chocolate bar gets turned into an ice cream these days.
I have to try them all.
Have you tasted anything lately that you've liked or really?
I do like, I know this isn't an ice cream, but I do like the new mint Kit Kat. Oh. I think that was a good choice.
See, sometimes they get it right.
Yeah, that one's been a good one. Coffee, not so much.
In the survey, you said something about chocolate too.
Freckles. I was talking about Freckles. You can't buy Freckles anymore.
No, but then you mentioned some other chocolate was good. Some new chocolate.
Oh yeah, there's a new... the guy in my local shop gave me some as a sample. And it's called...
You're a mark. You're a dead mark.
Yeah, I'm a mark. It's called... it's caramel.
Not caramel.
Yes.
Yeah, no good. Too sweet.
But you don't like it. Mm. It does taste like condensed milk, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's too much like condensed milk.
So you're a chocolate fan?
Yeah. Milk chocolate only. Forget dark chocolate. That's a punishment, dark chocolate.
So what's your go-to chocolate bar, Kitty?
I've developed a real thing for mint chocolate at the moment. So I really like Haig's mint chocolate.
Oh, Haig's is good.
Those dots and those frogs that they do. Yeah. Buttons, frogs. I love their speckles as well.
Oh, see, that's what I was talking about.
Freckles,
Love them. Trademark. Okay, we'll just call them speckles, yeah. Have you ever been to a chocolate factory?
No.
Oh, I've been a few times. I did a gig for Cadbury, and the guy goes, do you want to come for a tour? I'm like, fuck, yeah.
Do
you know what else is surprisingly good and you never think that it's going to be?
Yes.
Flake.
Oh, flake.
Surprisingly good.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's annoying to eat, but you always go, God, yeah, why does this taste so nice?
Flake is good.
I'm not into chocolate.
The too
chorused. Stop the chorus. I'm cheerfully chow down on a bag of salt.
But then don't you get on the salt and sweet roundabout?
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Salty chips, and then you go, oh, I need something sweet. You eat enough chocolate till you need something salty again.
No. Okay, then what's your favourite chip or savoury thing?
Look, I really do like salt and vinegar chips, I eat so many that they make my mouth pucker.
Yeah.
Oh. And you know what else I like? I really like Cheetos.
Oh, God.
Have you had Cheetos lately?
No, but I've
got... Well, buy a bag because they've become huge.
Oh, really? They've actually got bigger and not smaller.
Yes. The Cheeto is now enormous. And at first I was thrown by it. And now I just buy them and go, I really am enjoying this larger size Cheeto.
I have to buy them.
Oh.
Like, you need at least 3 bites on one Cheeto. You can't push the whole thing into your mouth.
My youngest son loves Cheetos, so occasionally when mummy's not around, we have some. But I think maybe that's why my son vomited, because he did drink one thick shake, then he drank his brother's half one. And I think and then he was like walking outside, and we were all laughing at him. We thought he was putting it on. Because he looked like he kept grabbing the wall and groaning. We're like,
Like a cartoon.
You know what?
How much chicken did he have? What sort of chicken did he have?
Fried chicken, just pieces.
How many?
That's a good question. 2 or 3.
Yeah, his brothers, well, you weren't looking at
that. Chips too.
Do we have any of yours, Dave?
Oh, chips as well.
But he's a 16, this is what 16-year-olds do.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we got in the car and he goes, I'm going to vomit. You vomited in the gutter. But it was more like a milkshake vomit. There was no...
Hang on with the chicken, as you say.
Yeah, I reckon. And then we drove off and we came to an intersection. He says, I'm going to vomit again. I went, oh, hang on, I'll pull over. Then I accidentally went through a red light. We got pulled over by the cops. And then the cop said, why? He said straight away to me, have you been drinking? I'm like, no, he's been vomiting though. And then the cop questioned him. He did actually go on the store.
We weren't allowed to have... Kentucky Fried Chicken when we were kids, because our mum was a bit like your partner, a bit Amish.
Yeah.
And we just weren't allowed to have Kentucky Fried Chicken. She just drew the line and said, no, there'll be no KFC. And then she went away for a week and we just badgered my dad until he bought us Kentucky Fried Chicken.
See, this is the thing, dads are an easy target.
All 3 kids were sick that night.
We all threw up.
What
a great word, badgered, though, isn't it? It's a lovely word.
Dad, can we just get KFC? Please, please, please. And we get it. And Mum used to always say, it'll make you sick. And 3 of us, sick from KFC.
I reckon that's what I'm going to now. Mum and Karen will be like, you know what happened after you left? They all got sick.
Imagine though.
And then, because I was so scared, sorry to tell her, and the kids are like, are we going to tell Mummy? Yeah, well, we've got to tell her. I said, but tell her in front of Nan, because Betty, my mother-in-law, is staying with us, because she'll laugh her head off and that'll distract. Which they did.
Maybe that was an elaborate plan between your parents, Kitty. Your mum went away and they said, well, I'll give them KFC, but we'll put something in it so they'll never have it again.
I think Dad was just as excited. Dad was probably sick too.
Yeah.
Do you know what, just in terms of junk food, there's a place in Easy Street opposite.
Oh, yeah, Toga. Yeah. With the trams on the roof.
With the railway carriages on the roof.
Yeah.
And I had a hamburger there. I went there with Tommy Little. I had a hamburger.
What was it like? Like a name drop for a start.
Playing. I had a hamburger with...
Kitty knows more famous people than us. She's not dropped one.
Too busy talking about chocolate bars and food.
Chocolate bars.
Well, you keep saying Kitty. Anyway, so you're name dropping. Anyway, it had a potato cake and a dim sim in it as well.
Oh, that's very good.
No, I'm drawing the line.
Had to be done.
Oh, yuck.
Was it all right?
It was okay.
Oh, Tony Little looks like he doesn't eat junk food.
Yeah, well, you know.
A young man, I suppose.
He's kind of blessed.
Have you found any other comics that, like... I mean, do you eat chocolate every day, Kitty?
Yeah, because I live by myself.
Yeah.
If I lived with someone, I would be so much more health conscious because there'd be someone there to judge
how much, like my partner,
how much crap I eat.
Well, I just eat behind the cupboard.
It's really dangerous living by yourself.
Oh, I can imagine it.
Like, you know what biscuits I'm really into at the moment? Monte Carlos.
Oh.
They're such a good dipping into tea biscuit.
What about Kingston's?
Used to be a fan. I'm not into the... You know there's a crunchy granular sugar in the biscuit?
Yes.
I've gone off it too sweet.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, most biscuits that we eat are all pre-war or around the war. There's been no new biscuits except for the Kingston that has lasted.
What's your record on Monte Carlo?
Well, you think about Chocolate Ripple, Monte Carlo, all those cream biscuits, they're all around war times.
Yeah, you're right. The Kingston is new. I remember when it came out.
I got so obsessed I looked them all up.
What about the bourbon cream? Do you ever go those?
Oh, that's a weird one.
That's a very old biscuit. Orange slice.
Yeah.
That's always last to go.
What's your record on Monte Carlo's?
This afternoon, I had lunch and thought, that's done me nicely. Lunch, I don't need anything else. And I went, might just make a cup of tea. Then I remembered I'd bought some Monte Carlo's and went, I'll just open those and have six.
Oh.
There's a lot of biscuits because they're a double biscuit.
Big biscuit.
And how do you feel about the trick when you go to a cafe and they've got their own version? Do you ever try?
No.
No good.
No, I need the processed.
Yeah. Love it. Anyway, you're on the debrief. Dave O'Neill, keep fighting it. We're talking biscuits, Brad Oakes. Get tuned into the biscuit hour.
We can talk about it.
We should. Okay, well, I'll do my questions. I'll do these questions every time, Keith. All right. What went? I got these off the internet. What went well tonight and why?
What went well?
Yeah, what went well? In the gear. You know. What material do you feel that you connected with them there, Kitty?
They felt like they were my people tonight.
They were your people.
Like, I started off with a Sex and the City reference. They were all in. Oh, so, you know, it's fine.
You're actually very good with voices. I never thought, you've got quite a good mimic. Have you always been a good mimic?
I always do, like in my shows, there's always lots of voices.
Yeah, it's good.
Which I never really realised until, someone else pointed it out to me and said, you do heaps of voices. I went, yeah, I do. But it's mostly just because in my storytelling, I just am saying, and this person said this, and I just do that person talking. So
I love a voice.
I'm not doing like impressions or anything.
No, you're not doing. Here's my trunk.
No.
Samantha was good for Sex and the City. Well, what didn't go well?
It's me.
Someone else.
What's my best gig, mate? You know, after 30 years in the business, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just, I think that the light was wrong.
The light.
Well, that's true. I had the light move.
That's the next question. What organisational hazard's gone the way? Fair to say, the light.
You know, I love a mic stand.
Yeah, I know, but there was no mic stand. I'm
thinking of having one of my legs turn into one.
Well, how can we do better next time? Get a mic stand.
I'll
tell you what
light.
Didn't do well, which was interesting for me.
What?
My rules. Too clunky. Segway into the rules, too clunky. Oh. Not going to work. Didn't think it worked.
I didn't notice that. I was watching.
Do you?
I bailed on them too. I had a whole bunch and I bailed after two.
Do you put a lot of weight in segways?
That's a good question, Brad. Thank God you're here.
I don't. You
just go straight into it?
Well, I think if it pays off, then the job's done. You know, I kind of feel like it's a little bit, I find it a little bit old-worldy, you know.
I think because all my shows usually, like if I do like a touring show, they're kind of just, it's like one bit leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next, because that's the only way I can ever remember it.
Yeah.
So I always put it together so it does have a kind of a
theme.
But just like each bit, at least in my mind, comes off the back of another bit. But in every single show I do, there's always one really clunky gear change that I can never manage to get rid of, and it annoys me for the entire run of the tour. I always go, oh, fuck, here we go. Here's the clunky gear change into this.
So what's up with hats?
Everything else seamless. You never notice that I've changed topics, but there's always one. And that's what I felt like I did tonight. I felt like it was all going along. It all seemed to be making sense. And this follows this. And then I just went, oh, hang on, I'm just going to turn left really quickly.
I don't think they noticed, though. I think only you'd notice.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I reckon you're a perfectionist. You might be.
I don't know if I'm a perfectionist, just a self-loather.
Oh, self-loathing?
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to watch yourself? Or
yes. Hate it.
God. So you don't sit there and watch your stand-up special?
No, and I probably should, but that's why we still haven't, you know, got it out there yet, because I refuse to watch the...
Oh, you won't, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. I know I have to, but I just...
If you don't like watching yourself, I don't think you learn anything when you do watch yourself. Because you just sit there hating
yourself.
No,
I think
yourself.
You do learn stuff. I wish I would
force
myself.
Stuff.
I think you really
learn. I
can learn.
Listen to myself, but I can't watch myself.
No, I think it's... I wish I could do it more. Because I do find it quite...
Well, I'd say to people, one thing you can do is, if you can film people watching you and listen... And watch them. That's a luxury you don't get being on stage. You can't look at everyone at once. But
yeah.
No, that's because you're too busy finding the one person who isn't laughing at you.
Yeah.
Do you
focusing on them.
Do you watch yourself when you're on? Have you been paying attention?
I will watch it back a few days. I can't watch the actual.
Are you just interested to see what was kept in it?
I have to see what made it.
Same here.
Oh no, it's fully live, isn't it?
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Well, but you know, they play the repeat on Friday.
Yeah, the repeat on Friday. Oh, yeah.
I can watch it by Friday, but I can't watch it on the night.
Yeah, but like, when I went on, I've been on the show once, and it was a glorious time. Kenny's been on about 100 times. And when I went on Kenny Malloy, the radio show, they're like, oh, you got to pretend that it's live tonight. And then I go on Ed Cavalier's show, just down the corridor, he's like, no, we don't pretend it's live.
No, everyone knows it's filmed on Sunday, and it's because... We all need to be edited to save anyone being sued for defamation.
Exactly, because people do so. People say stuff in the studio like, oh, that's not really going to get on. There's no way. No way. Because Sam Payne was telling me last week there was a question about Ivan Milat.
The question was, what's the Australian serial killer died this week? And Sam buzzed in and said, the late, great Ivan Milat. And then doubled down and went, Vale Milat, yes. Gone too soon. Surprisingly, didn't make it
to air. Yes. The Pangster. Oh, man. Anyway, it's a funny show.
Oh, man.
We love it. We love it, right? All right, well, we got to wrap it up. Brad, you got anything else to say?
No, I've learned something.
Lee. Kitty said she wasn't going to say anything, but she said a bit, which was good.
Yeah, so I really got into the food talk.
Yeah, the food talk. I love food.
And what about flavoured milk? Where are you on that?
Oh, yeah. Again, I love a milkshake.
Yeah.
All right. Do you love a milkshake?
I do. Okay. And it's killing me how many flavoured milks they're bringing out now, too. They're bringing out biscuit-flavoured milks. Iced Vovo milk.
I saw that the other day. What's your favourite flavour in milk?
They've got this really good one now, a salted caramel one.
I've seen that, yeah.
It's really good. And also, better one, salted chocolate. Salted chocolate, I wouldn't have picked it, but it's the best.
If you were to get a milkshake, though, are you a fan of this milkshake? Like a good milkshake?
Yeah, love a milkshake.
So what's the flavour there, though? Because they don't have a lot of those trendy flavours these days.
You can't go past chocolate, but I always say, can you put one less pump of the syrup in?
Oh, my God.
I don't like it too sweet.
I don't like it too sweet. I like it weak as well.
Yeah, just one less pump of the chocolate syrup.
But I'm a banana man. I love banana milkshakes.
Oh, a banana. I've never had one.
Oh,
does it taste like lolly banana?
Yes.
Oh, my favourite lolly.
Bananas.
Love a lolly banana.
Oh.
I buy those retro party mix things just for the lolly bananas and throw the rest out.
I was always bought some then. Well, I know you're a lolly fiend.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to lollies. Right. Brad, you said nothing about milk. You had nothing
it's disgusting. It's that, you know, really. It's...
That's a great man, Dave Hughes. Said, don't drink weight. My cousin was really fat and all he had was big M containers in his car. Don't drink weight. Okay, let's just move on to lollies.
Yeah.
What's your favourite lolly?
Oh, well, I love a lolly banana. And I really like a Black Cat as well. I wish I could get just packets of Black Cats.
Yeah, they're often the last. My kids don't like them. They often leave them in the packets.
And I reckon I can tell you a jelly bean colour. Like, I could do blind taste testing with jelly beans and tell you what colour they are. Especially those pharmacy jelly beans.
Yeah, I was going to say they're healthy because they sell them to the chemist.
If only we'd known that, so we could have done that as a podcast.
We could have done a test.
That would have been fun.
Next time.
I love a red frog. They've started to sell small packets of red frogs at 7-Eleven. They're the best.
Do I like bullets?
They've got rid of the green frogs, though, did you know?
Yeah,
them?
I know.
They're gone. I preferred a red, but I liked a green for balance, you
I
know, just
green
to.
One too.
It was like a palate cleanser. You'd cut through the red with a green.
So true.
And then just top up with your reds.
I can't believe you're not really fat, because you like lollies, like I like lollies. Are you vomiting or something? What's your signature? You
no,
on
I just.
You exercise?
Do you like bullets?
Love bullets.
Bullet.
You know, a little known fact, there was bullet flavoured Big M for a while, and it was called bullet flavoured Big M.
That's about the only way I'll ingest chocolate.
Oh, it's great. I bought a Kit Kat, so we've got to finish this podcast so I can eat it now.
Because I've made you hungry.
It's made me really hungry, and I can't believe it.
I know, I'm just remembering that I've got Monte Carlos when I get home.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm having a cup of tea and some Monte Carlos.
My lips are stinging from the salt from those fries.
Oh, I love fries. I love everything bad. All right. Well, thanks, Kitty. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for the driving, Dave. Do we have to give you petrol money?
Yeah, it's $50 each.
Okay.
Just deposit my bank account by Monday. The band. I did have to give you petrol money. That's all cool. I'll switch my machine off.
All right. Goodbye.